Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Another quick question to be answered in just a couple of words, maybe even one. Justin Fields' ceiling as a starter gets you to the playoffs, could win a championship, or just another guy? Bob?
Get you to the playoffs.
Can win one playoff game.
Gets you to the playoffs or not in a given year. I'm sorry I added that little addendum.
Well, that could be true with a lot of guys.
He's above being just another guy, but he's not the guy to take you to the promised land. We all agree on that then?
I saw a lot of people write off Sam Darnold in the right system. He went through four different teams.
I mean, if their take was he's not the guy to lead you to the promised land, then they were right on Sam Darnold. But I understand what you're saying. I do understand what you're saying there. Brian Billick was once on with Ron and I. Can I hear Ron's voice on any particular quote? I miss him today. Bob, that's my
like
favorite,
that
isn't it?
I like the laugh. The laugh is just, it's just one of those laughs.
Ron was here one day and Brian Billick said that Bill Walsh told him in almost every case, you know about a quarterback after around 25 starts. Justin Fields has made 44 starts in the NFL. He's an electrifying runner. There's no doubt about that. My questions with him, does he have a feel for the pocket, for the pass rush coming at him? Does he read defenses? Does he command an offense? Does he deliver the ball downfield with the right touch and accuracy? All of that remain huge questions with him. I tend to think, Bob, I think Justin Fields could produce you your usual fare, 9-8, 10-7, and get you blown out of a playoff game too. My general feel is you know it when you see it. Jaden Daniels has it. He's a guy. Jordan Love took a little step back this year. He's a guy. He has it. Bo Nix has it, I think. Justin Fields doesn't have it.
Does Michael Penix have it?
Don't know yet. Haven't seen him for enough starts.
Okay.
I mean, what's he started? Two games?
Just saying.
I don't know. I didn't. I only saw highlights of him. Justin Fields, I don't think, has it. I don't think you suddenly learn the things I just read off there in year five or in your 50th start. Geno Smith had a late career renaissance. There's exceptions to the rule, but that's the way I feel about him.
Take
on him.
They have to come up with a quarterback this year. He is the most likely candidate, number one, because he's young and athletic. I think there's upside. I don't know how much. I think they can unearth some things, harvest some things that make him better than he is.
Who can?
They can. Somebody can. I hope Tom Arth can. He's the quarterback coach or whoever works with him. But my point is, for now, if the choice is a 37-year-old Russell Wilson versus him, I'm taking him. And again, no disrespect to Russell Wilson. It's just, you know at some point that's going to come to a screeching halt. And when it does, you're going to be right back to where you are. So at least see him, see what happens if you put something around him, judge him, and in the meantime, keep looking.
You might be forced to, but I think we moved on now to maybe the question best phrased, can Justin Fields be a franchise quarterback? Would you be willing to bet on that? I would not.
I would not either, but I also don't know. And I know what Russell is, don't you?
Yeah.
We've seen what he is, and we know what he is.
I think after 44 starts, I may know what Fields is. And it's not all bad. I just don't think he's your guy moving into the future. He may have to be your guy this year.
Not a franchise quarterback, but he could be that bridge guy that puts you into the next generation.
Do you want a bridge guy, or would you rather have the bridge crash down?
The bridge crash down.
Yeah.
Well, completely crashed down.
Mean, he can actually do that too. I mean, they can, you know, invest in him, and then it doesn't work, and then it automatically happens.
And that's
know.
Why I'd be fine bringing him back, where if he succeeds, they go on a run, and you can cater your offense to him. Not saying he's Lamar Jackson, but what Baltimore did when they moved off of Flacco and went to Lamar was change their entire scheme and entire offense to his strength.
Yeah. You might have to go read option Greg Roman type thing, and if you're leaning into a 1965 offense, then really be it. Let's go to the phone lines. Limits, I asked the people their thoughts about the prospect of Justin Fields leading this team.
Let's begin with Tim in the North Hills.
What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good discussion. My problem is with Justin Fields is, will Mike Tomlin allow them to run an offense that's tailored to him? I mean, it's so weird to me. Every year he talks about how he loves mobile quarterbacks, and then when Justin Fields was in, you know, you knew he was never going to throw the ball on third and short. You know, they tried to have him under center. If you go with Justin Fields, I would like to see an offense designed around him, and they need to go out and get receivers who can run down the field. You know, so he can hit them deep, and it can't just be George Pickens. So
Bob,
that's
well said. Bob, I think Justin Fields, if you surrounded Justin Fields with a great defense, a really good scheme and coaching, and really good weapons, I think he'd be fine. Unfortunately, they have none of those.
You know, my biggest thing about them now, I hope they don't overreact to defense again because of what happened down the stretch and specifically with Baltimore, in that they're going to make a priority, a defensive lineman or somebody. I understand the need for cornerbacks. Offense has got to be the number one focus in this draft, I think, and moving forward. You have to start putting all of the money, at least most of it, in this side of the ball as opposed to that side. If you continue to do it, and I know they have needs, and it's a tricky puzzle to put together, but I would rather them try to upgrade significantly on offense. Defense, you just have to figure out what you got. And if your offense is good enough, hopefully it'll make it a little easier on your defense.
Next.
Here is Jim in Ohio.
Good morning, Jim.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Jim?
I agree with Bob's premise of the Steelers need a plan to get a quarterback and then have another one waiting. But I don't think – I have no confidence that they know what to do when they get that quarterback, how to develop them, what system is best for that guy. As far as Justin Fields goes, I was never a fan of his or Russell Wilson's because both guys ignore that middle of the field, and neither guy is capable of being that rhythm passer when they need to be. They re-signed Freiermuth, then they brought in Wilson from Michigan, and both those guys are across the middle, and neither of these quarterbacks will throw the ball across the middle when they need to, and I don't think they even know how to read those defenses and pick them apart when they need to, when they need those quick rhythm throws.
Bob?
Well, I would agree with that. I don't know if it's by choice or by design, but that was a part of the field that I thought was largely ignored. And every one of your weekly passing charts tells you that. Teams that are successful do it, and Baltimore can do this. They do it over the middle. They do it with their tight ends. They do it with Bateman, who's not afraid to go under the middle, over the middle. A lot of teams do that and look to create yards after catch. And they have guys on their team who can do that. George Pickens is a yard after catch guy, I think. But you got to put him in the position to do it. They did it a couple of times last week. Not enough for me and not enough for the entire season for me.
Yeah, I think Russell has some trouble over the middle because when he's in the pocket, he's so small. and he doesn't have that maneuverability anymore to buy extra time. He's got a little bit of that, but not. You need a lot of it when you're his height.
The other thing that made it problematic is time. They didn't have enough time to go back there. The offensive line got worse.
So he's got
to
buy it.
Yeah, so that's those two tackles were the two worst violators of sacks. They gave up the most sacks.
And, you know, Freiermuth got targeted, what, 23 times over the past three games of the year, you know? So I'm not sure that was a huge, huge issue.
Yeah, but it's where he's getting targeted. That's my point. You have
well, listen,
to.
Isn't he always targeted in the same space?
It's always at the boundaries. It's normally at the boundaries. Where and the one he couldn't get a first down. Remember that? That kind of throw. I'm talking about do what Kelce does.
Well,
somehow.
He needed to get that first down, by the way.
I know he did.
He also needed to catch the ball over the middle at the end of the previous
game. I understand that. But my point is that's where those guys should be effective, more so than they have been.
One more call before we get to George Michalowski.
Here's Chris in Uniontown.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Justin Fields for 1 year, but I'm drafting Jackson Dart. That's our quarterback for next.
The dart thrower.
The dart. Yeah, he's what does he project? He's not a first-round pick, is he?
No, more like a second or third.
If we don't take him, we're going to make a big mistake.
Well, I mean, they have to do their evaluation on all these guys.
I'll say this much. If we go back retroactively and complain about them not taking this guy or that guy, I wouldn't mind them taking a guy like Jackson Dart. There are some people who think that he is
upside. What a great
name, upside.
By the way.
Oh, for Jackson a quarterback? Dart. Are you kidding me?
Throws darts out there, Bob.
Yeah. Might as well be Bill touchdown pass.
Do you know there's a guy on the PGA Tour whose last name is Shank? I would immediately change that, by the way. I couldn't live playing golf with the name Shank.
It's like a kicker named...
Blewett.
Blewett, yeah. Chris Blewett.
Baldwin has a basketball player named Shank.
Well, that's okay. Golf is that's a bad word.
Here's NFL rookie watch. Listen to this. For whatever it's worth, and I'm not saying it's worth all that much, but they do have 170,000 followers. Jackson Dart is reportedly, quote, ranked ahead of Sanders and Ward on a few NFL scouts' boards. Some believe Dart could make a Jaden Daniels-type rise by the time the draft rolls around. Many scouts reportedly believe Dart could end up being the best quarterback to enter this year's draft. He had 4,300 yards passing, 500 rushing, 32 total TDs, and he's ready to shock scouts at the Senior Bowl. Listen.
If that happens, then they're not going to have a chance to draft him.
Well, you never know. I mean, look at what Lamar did in college, and he lasted till the 31st pick, 32nd pick, whatever it was.
But if you look at how these guys, some of them rapidly move up based on all this stuff.
Would you take a quarterback this year?
Yeah, if I thought the guy has a potential to be a franchise quarterback.
In the first round?
It would depend on where it is and who it is.
What if it's him?
If he's on the board where I'm picking 21,
yeah.
I'll take him, sure.
Bleacher Report projects him in the third round.
There you go. He's a sleeper pick, Bob.
Yeah. For all we know now. We know a lot of things change. But, yeah, I am that bullish on them addressing the quarterback position as much as they can in this draft, even though – most people tell you next year's draft is a deeper draft for this.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast Untrimmed Twin Pack $3.97 per pound. Limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go to George Michalowski of Pittsburgh Sports Now. He covers the Pitt Panthers, and he does it, yes, for Pittsburgh Sports Now. George, how are you today? Say hello to Bob Pompiani.
Bob, Joe, how are we doing?
Joe,
how's it going? I'm doing well.
What's going on, George?
We've never been better. This isn't going well. The end of the Louisville game, what happened?
Yeah, I mean, the entire game. The offensive rebounding for Louisville just absolutely killed Pitt. Second chance points, daggers. I mean, these points that Louisville was scoring, 22 second chance points off of offensive rebounds, they hold more weight in my eyes. I mean, we've all played basketball games, even if it was when you're a kid, and those are just deflating possessions. That just kept getting to Pitt. They kept getting worn down. The crowd was getting antsy, starting to boo them a bit. So it wore them down, and then Louisville made big shots. Chucky Hepburn hit an unbelievable shot in the end there.
Yeah, they didn't watch him at the end of the game. They weren't watching the right guy at the end of the game. My real question is this, and it's a yes or no question, and then I'll throw it to Bob Pompiani. If you had to bet right now, yes or no, is Pitt going to make the NCAA tournament, George?
Yes.
I would agree with that. I think they still will. But to your point, George, they got to start doing things a little bit better in the rebounding department. I know Cam Korn has been pretty consistent, and I like that. But who else can help in that regard? Or is that a team kind of thing that I remember Jamie Dixon used to always preach it with even his guards so that the guards would have six rebounds in a game and he would applaud that. How do they address that?
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Capel put it simply. He said, we got to go grab the ball. I think it's a mental thing right now and a thing that's driving the coaching staff insane because they have the talent, they have the size. And they honestly, with Korn, they have the physicality to grab these rebounds. I think Zach Austin averaging under four rebounds a game is a problem for the amount of minutes he plays. Korn being under six is also an issue. Jalen Lowe and Ish Leggett are pretty solid rebounders, but, man, Korn and Austin, you'd like to see those guys get into the seven for Korn and you know, 5-6 for Austin category. But it's going to hurt them, yes, I agree. But at the same time, like, man, the reason I say yes to the NCAA tournament, like, the ACC is down this year. And Pitt's non-conference schedule, they're reaping the benefits of that right now. They're you know, one of the only teams in the bracketology predictions right now that's got as bad of a conference record as they do at 3-2, and they're still comfortably in these projections. I mean, Louisville's 6-1 in the ACC, and they're lower than Pitt in these bracketology predictions.
That's Bob, interesting.
Do you have a follow-up?
No, I just have a question about there's a guy at Florida who's 7'9". Did you see him yet play? His name is Olivier.
I believe he's redshirting.
Yeah, he's redshirting, but he's 7'9". His name is like Olivier something. I don't know where he's from.
Lawrence Olivier.
But he was on the court the other day, and I wondered. I was watching, and I'm thinking that dude. That, I mean, you normally can tell height disparities, but I said that, and then I looked it up. He's 7'9".
Yeah, 300 pounds too.
Yeah, he's built pretty well. Is he supposed to be like I don't know. I guess it's an NIL situation. Where did he come from? Do you know?
So he played at IMG Academy, like which everyone's heard of before, and he's from Canada. I believe he's from Quebec. Played at IMG, but he wasn't really a highly touted prospect. It's literally just this guy is an absolute monster. How can we develop him basketball-wise?
Oh, I would have thought that. If he's 7'9", you can't teach that. I'd bring that right in the middle and say, okay.
Limits, you should play him in one-on-one. Would you like to finish up with a question for George?
Yeah, I don't know if that would necessarily go well. George, what's the number one key that Pitt needs to do to turn this thing around?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it before, but it's rebound the basketball. Tonight, I think they need to take care of the ball. Florida State's one of the best teams. They are the best team in the ACC in terms of steals and blocks, forcing turnovers. So I think they got to take care of the ball tonight. But, man, you look at this team, and like I said, they're still firmly in the mix for NCAA tournament berth. Losing two games to two good ACC teams isn't going to kill them. They need to, I guess, snap out of it, not get down about these losses, because look, I don't think they're going to finish the season with four losses. I don't think Pitt's going to win out. It's okay to lose games because, again, their non-conference positioned them well. So they need to improve on rebounding. I think that's certainly something we want to see Pitt improve on. But in terms of the overall feeling around this team, I think it's pretty negative right now when nationally they're still in a pretty good place.
George, we appreciate the time, man. Hopefully we'll check back in and have better news next Wednesday. Thank you.
All right, George.
Thank you, guys. See ya.
Take care. And that's tonight, Pitt at Florida State. You can hear it right here on 93.7 The Fan. Tip-off at 9, pregame before that. All right, let's go to Starkey's Card of the Week, Bob. Every Wednesday we hear about this, the Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. We go to Jeff Patton, General Patton, we like to call him. My guess for this week's card is, I don't have a guess for this week's card. I'm going to go Ovechkin as he chases Gretzky and gets closer and closer. Bob.
He's amazing. And what they're doing down there, General, is amazing. Capitals have one of the best records. I never would have thought that would be the case this year.
Who's your
guess? That's a good pick. My guess is going to be Derrick Henry. Is this strictly a who's hot, who's not?
Yeah, and, okay, he picked Burrow last week.
I would pick Derrick Henry, and I also am going to do a future pick. One that's going to happen soon is that you're going to have Joel Blomqvist. He's going to return and light the Penguins on fire. He is going to be solid in goal. So I'm going to go future pick for you, General.
Twin Cities?
Bob took my pick, Derrick Henry. What a beast.
Who do we got, General?
Gentlemen, good morning. Appreciate you having me. Derrick Henry's just too raw for me to go with.
I figured.
Collectors are just like the Steelers, perpetually in search of a franchise quarterback. Joe, you already gave the pick away once today. We're going with Jaden Daniels.
Ooh.
Collectors are all over Jaden Daniels. Football cards are different than baseball in the sense that there's only about 30 guys that people chase, quarterbacks, receivers, running backs, occasional outside pass rusher. Jaden Daniels is on fire. You know, black and gold is what we sell the most of, but lots of people come in asking for Jaden Daniels, so that's what we're going to go with this week. I have a Topps Now rookie card.
Beautiful.
And I can't wait for the day that Joel Blomqvist is our card.
Yeah, he will be soon.
Are the Topps cards still going off the shelves with the Skeens situation? Have we found the Skeens card yet?
The card has not come out.
No, Christmas is over. Now I think it's all a scheme, General. There's no card out there yet. This is an attempt to make as many sales as you can. I get it. It's business.
Well, I'd like to think not, because I'm an optimist in that regard. I'd like to think that it's buried in somebody's box that, believe it or not, we still talk to a lot of people who bought the boxes as an investment and didn't open them. But I will tell you this. The box you guys opened on the air that was a $299 box is now a $799 box.
Holy horse oil. Are they still going off the shelves left and right?
Yes, but it's to the point where they're even hard to get now. I mean, for the longest time, the first 60 days of this charade, I had it every day. Now I have it every 2 days, every 3 days. It's just getting to be so pricey. It would be like if playing the daily number became a $5 ticket instead of a $1 ticket.
Thank you, General.
Using that metaphor, 800 of the 1,000 numbers have already been taken. Topps did release a statement the other day that said 70% of the cards the other players have been obtained, which would make you think that 70% of the product has been opened. So,
I'm hanging on to my Jackson Merrill card. I have that, and I hope that he becomes a guy who is Hall of Fame worthy.
I'm still hanging on to a Brian Bixler card. Still hoping, General.
I will say this. The one thing that is a little bit of a misnomer is obviously Skeens cast shadows on everyone else. There's a lot of other good cards in that set. All three Jacksons, Curio, Holiday, Merrill, all legitimate guys if they weren't in the same rookie class as Paul Skeens.
Thank you, General. You're a wonderful man.
You're welcome. You guys have a good week.
See you, General.
There he goes.